King chapter 17. Are we there? Verse 9. Hallelujah. Let me read it from verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook where Elijah was sent to go in the time of the famine in Israel. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Listen to this short exhortation I want to give you. They are words of wisdom. Let it guide you for this year. A lot of us made terrible mistakes in the past. Don't repeat those mistakes this year, 2007. Let the purpose of God in your life this year manifest. Achieve your destiny this year. I told you during our Prosperity Week program, I said, people don't prosper by fasting. You don't prosper by somebody say, receive it. No. Our God is not a magician. Our God works by his principles. And for every aspect of your life, there is God's principle for that aspect. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. What is the confidence? That if we ask anything according to his will, it has to be according to his will, that he heareth us. What is his will? His will is in the scripture. His will is his principle. It's true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 17, First King. Let me finish reading it. Verse 9 again. The Lord told Elijah, there was hunger in the land. Anybody, as I'm preaching now, you sleep. It tells you, it means you are not yet ready for this year. Because faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Without faith, no man can please God. That's what the Bible says. And you can only have faith by hearing the word of God. And I'm telling you, what I'm telling you now is 1,000 times higher than any prophet picking you up to give you any prophecy. Because it encompasses the whole aspect of your life. The Lord told Elijah in verse 9, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And I want to analyze that statement first. He says, I have commanded a woman there, hallelujah, to take care of you, Elijah. And do you know what? God did not go to inform that widow woman, hey, my servant is coming. His name is Elijah. When he comes, take care of him. God didn't tell him there, tell her that. But the Bible says, God says, he has commanded that woman. How? Amen. What God has done with that woman, he did two things. Number one is that he gave her a given spirit. He gave that woman first a given spirit. When poverty, when you are to be sentenced to everlasting poverty, the devil will make you to be stingy. And you say, but I have 10 million naira. This year I made 10 million naira. But you don't give. If you don't give, and you have made 10 million naira this year, and you are boasting with it, it simply means your level is supposed to be over 100 million. The fact that you don't give, except you make the Bible a lie, it means you are supposed to be much, much more higher than that level you are in. But stinginess limited you to 10 million. And you are dancing there. You made 10 million. Didn't you see others that made 200 million? That is the first thing he did. If God wants to bless you, one thing he will do is he will remove the spirit of selfishness. He will remove the spirit of stinginess. He will make you to be a giver. When I say give, give is give. In Luke chapter 6, somewhere in verse 30, he said, whichever man that asketh thee, he said, give. Any man, whether he's a Christian or not, be a giver. Giving to needy people. Not to go and give to somebody who is already rich. No, not that type. That's given by contract. That you are looking for something for someone. The second thing he did in the life of that woman is he made her to have respect to servant of God. That is why God said, I have commanded her to take care of thee. Can we read on? Verse 10. So he, Elijah, arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? The confirmation of who that woman is. Elijah is going to prove it now. In Luke chapter 4, can we read it? Luke chapter 4, put your finger back there. The commentary concerning that woman. Verse 25 and 26. This is Jesus Christ speaking. But I tell you of a truth. I'm reading Luke 4 verse 25. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. The emphasis there was that there were so many other widows in that land crying for help. No man to help them. Their husbands were dead, and maybe so many of them have our kind of in-laws that we have in Africa. Once your husband is dead, he has children, they abandon you to your faith. How you take care of those children, that's your business. Hunger, people were dying in the land. And all other widows were crying. But there was a particular woman that her own cry attracted the attention of God. Why? Because she was a woman that was a giver. And because she was a woman that had respect to the things of God, to the servants of God. But other women did not have that type of spirit. blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, back to chapter 17. Verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Just imagine that you are in that position. All that you have left. One old man enter your house. And he's telling you, the only food you have. Amen. Oh. May I be like that woman of Zarephath, that widow. So many times, several people here have had opportunity for God to bless them. They missed it. Anytime you have opportunity to help somebody, is opportunity for God to lift you up. And so many people have missed that opportunity. So many people. Chapter 31. When Balak could not get Balaam to curse Israel, because whom God has blessed, you cannot curse him. You believe it? Let me see your hand up. Not many hands are up. You believe it? That if you are truly blessed, no juju, no man can curse you. And so, but the devil knows how to get you in trouble. And Balaam decided to advise, look, Balak, you can't curse these people. They have a covenant with their God. The only thing you will do is cause them to offend their God, so that God will not deal with them. That is what brought about the feast at Bethel. And I told them, they sent message to Israel in the wilderness. They have been there for years. You know, we are together. Let us have a feast and, you know, your wilderness journey. And then they prepared the feast. What Balaam taught Balak is what the Bible referred to as the doctrine of Balaam. He taught the children of Israel, he led them to commit fornication with the Moabites. He made them to dress sexy dress. And they were there. Throughout, they were working under strict laws. Balaam dressed them very well with Balak. They were showing all that will entice the children of Israel that for years never see human nakedness like that. And they were dancing a willow in the church. You know, there are some churches that dance makosa. Every worldly music is now in the church with Jesus' name on top to make it look as if it is Christian. And all they are doing is they are shaking and distributing lusts. A man not be wood now. The children say, ah, see. Before they know what, they grab them and fornicated. And God's anger came. And 20 something thousand that day, they were killed. 23,000 died that day. What Balaam could not achieve by cursing them. All he needed to do was let the people have problem with their God. Who will deliver them? And God, Satan is still doing that same thing with his children. Somebody will come to church. In a ministry like this, where we don't force you to make vows. Voluntarily, come and make vow. You will jump to the altar. You will write your name plus your phone number plus your address. And they will tell you, we need it by so date. You say, no problem. As soon as you leave the altar, Satan will start to minister to you. And give you reason why you should not pay that vow. But the Bible says, don't be hasty. God wants you. Don't be hasty when you come. God's presence to speak. He said, because if you make a vow and you don't pay, God said he will demand it from you. And when God says he will demand something, you know what it means. How? You have not seen in John chapter 2 verse 25. He called, before he spoke about the restoration, he spoke about the locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the canker worm. He said, my great armies that I sent against you. He said, they are his armies that he sent. Because when God said he will demand something from you, you know who will deliver you. If you have problem with your maker, who will deliver you? If you have problem with a shrine, if you come here on Friday in the morning, healing and deliverance group, they will lose you. They will lose you. If your enemy poison you, you come here, we consecrate pure water, it will go. If they lock you, you come here in our showers, we will open padlock, it will open. But if it is God that locked that padlock, who will be able to open it? And so many of us, that is our problem. You've gone to churches here and here. You may vow. Pay, you will not pay. You don't know. It's the devil pushing you to everlasting punishment. Don't do that this year. Don't do it. Don't do it. And tonight, you know, in the morning, I was saying that I've been praying to God that he should permit me to pass a pardon. You see? But as I was saying that, what was ministered to me is God will never bend his principle for anybody. There is the doctrine of restitution. Make right every wrong. If there is any vow you have made, go and redeem it. Go and pay it. No matter how long it has stayed, that it may be well with you. And just take a look at yourself the past year and see all the things you have taken for granted. And ask God to forgive you. Don't do them this year. You suffer last year, don't suffer again this year. I told you something. I said, no matter what, as clear as I see a revelation for you, or any prophet here, or any man of God anywhere at all, sees a revelation and tells you, by this time next year you will be in Europe, because that is all your ambition. Amen. Oh, hey, finally my case. They don't mention my case. Hey, you are so happy as you leave church. You go to Ngozi house. By this time next year, I'll be abroad. So I start to tell you now, say we'll go marry. And you take that girl and you go and sleep with her. And you go and fornicate with her. Let me tell you, once a promise of God is released to you, Satan goes after it. Once there is thus said the Lord of a blessing to you, Satan will go after it. He can never come around it as long as you don't give him the chance. And the Bible made it clear. He said, break the edge. Serpent will bite you. Now, and if you analyze that statement very well, break the edge. That is the edge of God's protection. That was the edge Satan saw around Job. And he told God, hey, will not be you covered with your edge. Remove it now and see if I tell her it will curse you. And every Christian has that edge of protection around you. Now he said, break that edge and serpent will bite you, it means Satan is always around looking for if there can be anywhere it can be broken. If it's not around, hallelujah, if it was not always around Job, how will he have known there is an edge around him? He must have tried Job several times. He couldn't get him. Because if you go to Job chapter 31, Job boasted concerning fornication, he was clean. Adultery, he was clean. Lies, he was clean. Everything, he was clean. He was using it to tell the whole world that he knows he's not paying for anything. But how many of you can boast like that? Immediately, a young man here receives that, Satan will start to push you to do things that will make him take over that thing. Then it makes you look as if God doesn't answer prayers. Why now? Why now? Why my case be like this? But be sincere enough. Last year, were you sincere with God? Before that prophecy failed to pass, before you begin to complain, take an inward look at yourself. Did I live a clean life? 2006. Did I, was I in position for that prophecy to come to pass? Satan is described as the accuser of the brethren. What is he accusing us of? He's accused because you came here and then the pastor was blessing you and God wants to release the blessing. Satan will stand and tell God, if you release this blessing for him, then you go release my own too. Because the iniquity make you drive me come up for heaven. And he says, Satan, out! Those of us who do deliverance, you know what you have seen. You're telling a demon to go out, the demon will be telling you every reason why he should stay there. Every reason. Sometimes you have to stop and tell the sister, or tell the brother, say, brother, you have something to confess. Go and make it right and come back. Because no matter how you shout, the accuser of the brethren, he knows the spiritual law. He will stay there. If the fire is too much, he will leave and wait outside. Then the deliverer minister that is blind will say, hey, now you are free. You see, now you are free. Free for where? The spirit is waiting there. When you come on, he said, don't mind that house, man. Let's go, Joe. Let's go, John. Now, me and you there together. Me and you there together. I'm your demon, spiritual husband. Me and you, we don't marry. Nothing can happen. How can a human being marry a demon? Every spiritual marriage shall be is over in Jesus' name. If you don't answer, whether you like it or not, it is over. The principle, God's principle, follow it. Without holiness, no man will see God. It's God's principle. It's God's principle. He's demonstrating, explaining to us one important principle that if we follow, you will prosper this year. I'm telling you. Let's go back to the scripture. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, she was swearing, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse of and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die, because no hope again. No hope. A woman in that estate, her last one that she will just eat. After that, no more hope. Others have been dying, and so she said, just two sticks. It means the meal must have been very small. So you don't need too much firewood before the thing will boil. He said, just going to carry two sticks after you put it there and it will be over. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me tear off a little cake first. That's another hard one. Nobody said, bring it, make we share. He said, prepare my own first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And the remaining story, you know it. It came to pass exactly. As difficult as it was, she believed him. He said, make for me first. And let's be very, very sincere. Like I asked in the morning, let's be very, very sincere. If you were that widow woman and this bearded old man from nowhere appear in a land full of hunger everywhere, if you were the one, your last card, the only one you were hoping will prolong your life small, no hope anywhere he came, and this man of God comes to you, be very, very sincere with yourself. If you will do what this woman did, let me see your hand up. You are sincere. Shut up, put down your hand. You are sincere. It's difficult. It's difficult. It's true. Especially in this city of Lagos, where so many men of God have 419 us before. You're almost sure whether what they are saying is true or not. But Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says, cast your bread upon many waters, and you will find it after many days. Cast a little here, cast a little there, because you don't know which of them will profit you, whether it is one particular or all of them. He said, in the morning, so. In the evening, he said, in the afternoon, he said, don't withdraw your hand. So, anytime you have the opportunity, he said, so. He said, and he that regarded the wind, you will sow, and if you don't sow, you will not reap. That is, don't look at condition. Every opportunity to do something for somebody's life to be better, do it. And the Lord was using this scripture and telling me to tell the church for this year. He said, tell them to learn to put God first. Put God first in all your affairs for this year. Put God first. No matter what your condition, put God first. No matter what you are going through, put God first. There are two characters we looked at in the morning. Abraham. In Genesis chapter 14, there's something we learn from there about these two people. One of them is Abraham. In verse 20 of Genesis 14, Abraham went to deliver Lot when Lot was captured. And as he came back, he met a man on the way by the name of Melchizedek. The Bible describes him as priest of the Most High God. It means he saw a man of God. And the Bible records, at that time there was no law. Abraham was not given any law. Abraham was the father of faith. He worshiped God by faith. Faith there is revelation. Now, something about Abraham. The Bible records that he paid tithe to Melchizedek. Who commanded him to pay tithe? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who told him? Nobody told him to pay tithe. But there was something he knew. Abraham knew how to walk with his maker. Unlike us here, with the stick of the law of God following us, pay your tithe, pay your tithe, you will not pay your tithe. It's because you don't know the effect of paying your tithe. That is something we can learn from him. He didn't have any law written anywhere. Nobody was preaching to Abraham. He just knew this God by revelation. See another character. In Genesis chapter 4, Abel. Abel and Cain, they all brought their sacrifice before God. Let's see it for those who may just be seeing it for the first time. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now watch it. See what Abel brought that made his own to be accepted and made Cain's own to be rejected. We have always looked at it that it was because he had a revelation that without the shedding of blood there is no remission. By revelation he knew that. Therefore, if he was going to bring a sacrifice to atone for their sins, then it was only normal that he would bring an animal, an innocent animal, to shed the blood, which later on became the ordinance to Israel. But how did he know it when they had no law anywhere? By revelation. But watch it. Cain didn't have such a revelation. And even when he was told to do the same thing now so that his own will be accepted, he just will not do it. A type of two groups of people in the church. We are telling you, you are wondering, why are some prospering and me, I'm remaining in the same position? Do what they are doing now. Pay your tithe, you will not pay. Lot of you came to be, you know, you covenanted yourself that every week you bring a minimum of 500 naira for this building. Just 500 naira. Just 500 naira. You got tired and stopped. Others were even borrowing, when the time comes, going to church, they will make sure they keep it in one corner. They are 500 naira. The year has ended now. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And a lot of you look at blessings as bank accounts. Look at how many times you spent money in the hospital this year. Then you will count your blessings one by one. How many times did you have need to send money home for some urgent thing? How many times this year did they come to 419 you? See? God's protection. And there are some people here that never received favor from anybody throughout this year that passed. No favor coming their way, and they are wondering why now? Why now? Do what other people are doing. You will not do it. You will not do it. You won't do it. How many people are somewhere praying for you? Ah, thank you, Jesus. How many people are somewhere praying for you because of your act of kindness towards them? A lot of you don't know this is our God. I asked God to do something. I was sharing with some ministers. I said, all the people that parade themselves as intercessors. I said, I am wiser than that. I have better revelation than that. I say, in this ministry, only God knows who are the true intercessors in this ministry. And because of it, my prayer every day, I say, oh God, raise intercessors for me. I am standing here facing all manner of demons with enemies all around us. I said, Lord, of all the people here, outside, anywhere, you know the people that anytime they speak, you always hear. Cause them to be my intercessors. But do you know how God will do it? If he wants to answer me, that's why I say I am wiser than that. From nowhere, one poor person from the congregation will just come. Pastor, as you see me so, they don't throw away my load for outside. Pastor, as they see me so, my children never chop for 4 days. Now the prayer way I don't pray, God wants to answer be that too. He will cause that needy person to come. And while he's bringing it, God times it. He will make sure the money is available there, because such people know be big, big money that they find. That 5,000 naira you give, hey, Pastor, when that woman goes to kneel down and pray for you, oh, study this God and know him. Study this God and know him. Don't be, because you're a prophet, therefore everybody will be praying for you. Na lie. Don't be, because you're a pastor. Na lie. I have seen pastors that were at the altar like this. They fired them something, they collapse for altar. They collapse and die for altar. So it's only wise for me to pray, Lord, raise intercessors. But God will not just say, because my servant, okay, I appoint this up. He will do something. It's either the person will have a problem, he will come to me, and I will pick up his case. Maybe he's been suffering some frustration. And then I will have that love for him and pick up his case until the case is over. When the person receives deliverance, then forever you go put your name down. Ah, that house man. Ah, he carried my case. Father, what are his needs? Any man that wish the man evil, that evil will return to him. And you don't know that. And the person will pray that prayer from the heart. That is the intercessor God is raising for us. How many intercessors do you have? And every one of us need an intercessor. You see? No revelation. Watch it. Abel had a revelation. Just give me another 15 minutes, please. So that you go, you see vision for people, will see vision for you. My job today is to anoint you and go and meet my family for house. We could do New Year. With a fast, so I'm not going to deal with my family. Praise the Lord. My prayer is that this thing I'm saying will anchor in somebody. And somebody will take a decision and say, it's true. Father, forgive me. From now. From today. Today is the first day. From today. From today. Somebody shout from today. Some people know if you talk. Hallelujah. See what he did. He didn't just take an animal. The Bible says he took out of the firstlings. Underline it in your Bible. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. He didn't just pick anyone. He picked a particular one from among the first ones that were produced. That is the firstlings. Where did he get the revelation that he cannot just pick any lamb, any animal? By revelation, God gave it to him. Not just that you bring any animal and slaughter it. It has to be a specific type of animal. It has to come from among the firstlings. Why? Because there is a law in Exodus chapter 13. Can we read it? Exodus chapter 13. Listen to the law for such sacrifice. Now, in Exodus chapter 13, listen to the law. It's a law. And it's applicable to every true Christian. I qualify it, every true Christian. Because it's not every Christian that is a true Christian. There are false Christians. People who are using their mouth to serve God, they use their heart to finish that God. They are false Christians. verse 2. He says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Everybody shout firstborn. Shout it again. Remember, my exhortation is putting God first. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. That is the law that Abel understood. Hallelujah. You read further. You go to verse 12. Hallelujah. He said that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. From verse 10 or verse 11. Watch it from verse 11. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee. When all the promises he has promised you to bless your business, to prosper your finances, to prosper whatever you have been crying to God upon. He said, when he has done it, listen to verse 12, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass that shall redeem with the lamb, and read on and on like that to the end. The law, the emphasis there is that first part of your income, of your blessing, belong to God. Before you begin to enjoy that, give God his own first. That first blessing that comes out, cut a chunk of it and give it to God. This time now, it's not just tithes. That thing that comes to you, give a better part of it, of that first blessing, that first profit you are making, that first salary you are receiving, that first breakthrough you are having, the first part of it, give it to God. Put him first. It's a law. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, introducing Jesus Christ, that he is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. When you say the first and last of what? It's of everything that pertains to your salvation. Jesus Christ is the first and the last concerning your salvation, concerning your redemption. He is the beginning and he is the ending. You start with him, you end with him. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the A, in other words, and he is the C. Oh, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says he is the author and finisher of our faith. Therefore, start your life with God. End your life with God. That is why we start this year with God. We will end this year again in his presence. The last day will be here. The first day will be here. Because we acknowledge he is the author and finisher. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. That is our own way of acknowledge that he is our all and all. That's the only reason you are here this night. That's the only reason. So many of you travel, you were rushing to come back to make sure you start the year in his presence. You are making sure you ended the year in his presence. A lot of people who don't catch this revelation, they don't take this service seriously. This is the most important service for this year. I'm telling you. The most important service. Start with God. End with him. Appreciate him. I'm wondering those who will sit at home today. Some people all through the night, they are watching film. Unbelievers are in nightclubs. with beer. Happy New Year, happy with beer. With girlfriend. All manner of stupid things are going on outside. But you who are wise, Daniel chapter 12 said the wise will understand. You who are wise, wisdom unto salvation. Hallelujah. You have chosen to do the right thing. No matter how weak you are, no matter how tired you are, you say, no, even I go sleep there, instead of staying at home. Now, this same attitude reflected in every aspect of your life. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not, that is, don't depend on your wisdom. Don't depend on your understanding. Don't depend on the fact that you got first class in your university. Don't depend on the fact that you are sure of getting admission because you have made 20 A's in your GC, in your NECO. Don't depend. No. Don't lean on your understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. And when you do that, he shall direct thy path. In all thy ways, your ways. He said, acknowledge him. What do you mean by acknowledge him? Give him recognition. Give him recognition. I was giving an example of a brother. I said that his faith challenges me. Everything he does. And there's one other brother too. That's the second brother I'm seeing. Maybe there are others. I'm just telling you those that I know. If there are others, continue. Never you be discouraged. There's a brother that I know. Each time he closes his market from Mushi, before he goes home, he will come back here to the altar and pray before going. Before he goes to Mushi again in the morning, he will come pass through here and pray before going. Now this other brother I'm telling you, before he travels, before he takes any document anywhere, he must first come to the altar. Not to any minister, between him and God, and present it. And some of you may not know him, but very soon you will know him. When I say you will know him, I mean you will know him as a national figure in this country. Because of where God has decided to catapult him to. It's true. Why? For everything he does, this is a brother that understands God's principle for prosperity. Oh, I was telling in the morning, I said where he was working, I said they were paying him 50,000 naira in a month. With 50,000 naira in a month, a man with family, 60,000 in a month, a man with family, I said, I know up to 4 brethren from poor background that he was sponsoring. I told you that is the same brother when they were attempting to do nonsense with him in the office. He came here to testify. His prayer to God was, God, you know I am a tither. I have never failed to tithe any cobble you gave me. He gave God every reason to intervene. He said, if they ever succeed to do what they want to do, then it must mean that you are promoting me somewhere else. The enemy should not get me as far as my source of income is concerned. How many people can boast like that? Now let's be very sincere. If you can boast like that, wave your hand up. You see, I have a very sincere crowd here tonight. Clap for yourselves. Hallelujah. I have a sincere crowd. I'm happy about that. Because sometimes it's good to admit your failure. Be sincere with yourself, because that is the beginning point of your deliverance. Think on this year. See, I'm just being careful. I know there are so many others here that do a lot of acts of faith that challenge God. When I see them, I just feel so challenged. There are some of you, when you're around me, I feel so inadequate. I say, see what this one is doing. I know I'm not able to do this much. And when God is blessing them, you're wondering why. I told the ministers in this church, the same Ecclesiastes chapter 11 applies to all of us. I said, he said, if you consider the wind, you will not sow. I said, with the whole of your heart, anybody that comes to you, you have opportunity to minister to anybody, minister to them. Some of them come to use us and dump us. But let it not discourage you from ministering to the people of God who are in need of your gifts. One day, amen. One day you will meet somebody. You will meet somebody that one man out of 100 people you have prayed for before, 99 people, the 101, what he will do will make you forget all the wahala you did for those 99 that didn't even come back to say thank you. You don't know how God works. Sometimes God allows you to see whether you are a hireling prophet, whether the reason you are doing it is for what you will get, so that you will be tired and you will withdraw. And when he sees that you mean it, then he establishes you. It's true. And every minister that has followed this advice, I have practically seen all of them, their lives changing. I said, throughout, we saw Brother Madueke. Every day he's in the church. For 2 years he was in the church. Every day you see him sweating, binding, losing. You see him, you know, if not to travel, you will travel, you will come back. One shirt, one trouser. One shoe that was begging to be changed. One even in a wear singlet. The sweat had changed the color. But every time you see him happy, happy, doing the job happily. And then the deacons looked at him one day and said, this brother is always here. Then we should be giving him some allowance. The day the deacons gave him, he thought, I am the one that gave him. He came and said, Daddy, see what thing they give me. He was kneeling down. I said, let me give you. Now, Deacons. And now that same brother that was faithfully doing this thing, he was living in a quarter room with 6 children. How many children? 4. How many? 5 or 6 children. With 1 quarter room. that building was more than a barrack. And you will enter one car. But from that quarter room, God promoted him to a 3-bedroom flat. Hallelujah. I saw in the spirit, I told him to go and get driving license. Because I saw somebody giving him a car. I told him, I said, go and get driving license. A car is coming. Praise the Lord. Now, he changes dress every day. He no longer wears coat. He wears suit now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nobody can serve God and regret it. But so many of us, I know in this same church, people that go for Aladelitu, I heard that some people, their minimum charge na 70,000. 50,000 na, that is to be able to just maybe just to pray for you. If they have to go in this church, upon the fact that I have laid a curse on any minister here, man or woman, that will charge anybody for your gift, and that curse still stands here today. If I'm a true servant of God, watch anybody that does that. Of course, they won't let me know, because if I catch you, I drive you physically and spiritually out of this church. But they still go behind. Because there are church members that will still pay money. And watch those who do that. Watch. The only thing you see around them to show say something there around them, now the cloth where they wear. And shoes. Beyond that, nothing. No accommodation to even stay. No house. When the money comes, 100,000, 200,000, before they sleep, wake up, they go look for them. What did I do with this money now? Now the cost where I live, they follow them. Nothing. If I'm a true servant of God, I'm still saying it. I put a cost on any man or woman in this church that will charge anybody for a gift that God gave you freely. The Bible says freely we receive, freely we shall give. I have told them, if you want to prosper, leave this church and go and start your own. If you remain here, you are cursed. You will live a life of frustration throughout unless you repent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Verse 6, verse 7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When you do that, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Peace will be all around you. Then verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Today now is Thanksgiving. What have you brought to honor him as your offering of thanksgiving for all that he has done for you? Oh, when this ministry started, it was better than this when we were fewer. Oh, there was love. The brethren were given at the end of every year like this. Like today, 31st, they will pack bags of rice, Dickens, bags of rice, bags of semovita, salt, tubers of yam, dresses, clothes, shoes, will fill the altar. You see all manner of things that people were bringing. We were doing that every year. And I've spoken several times. Anytime it's Thanksgiving, it must not be money. Turn and look around you. What precious thing do you have? What will I do to show God that I appreciate him? That is why. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. We are telling you about the principle. It says, honor the Lord with your substance, something physical. With your substance. Don't just use mouth and dance. The word of the Lord says, go beyond that. If you tell me, I love you, pastor, or you tell your wife, I love you, you know it doesn't just end in saying, I love you. That you love, something physical will always, that's why you buy her things, that's why you take her to places. Where is that love we used to have? It will sometimes for 1 week, tickets are still sharing it among needy people in the church. They will pack that. Some will bring goat. Some will bring all manner of things. Frozen food, fish, everything at the altar. Sometimes for 1 week, every day, deacons, after that, they are still sharing it to needy people that they know, to widows, to orphans in the church, to ministers. They are busy sharing them for 1 week, Monday to night, they are in the church. Now, what is happening? Don't let that spirit follow you this year in the name of Jesus. If this word is true, and my Bible tells me that God honors his word above his name. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Firstling again. First fruits again. When you do that, verse 10, it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I explained in the morning, this new wine is new ideas. New ideas to make money will start to come to you. New ideas of how to do, and you go higher than your competitors. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Put God first. Put God first. That's what the apostles had. Sunday is the first day of the week. And the first day they dedicated to God. A lot of you don't come to this church on Sunday. You say we stay too long. We don't stay too long. After all, we stay here only during the day. We don't stay during the night. The whole day, the first day of the week, use 1 day. 6 days you are doing your business. 1 day dedicated for God. And make it the first day of the week. Give it to God. There's something about giving that first part to God. And we as this church, pick one aspect of this ministry to sponsor. At least one aspect. Pick one aspect. With the little you have, pick one aspect this year. I just want to reemphasize that. I don't think I'm telling you what I don't do. I do it too. There are people in this church I am sponsoring also. Because I know the benefit of doing it. I will never be specially blessed because I am pastor. God is no respecter of persons. If he's a respecter of persons, Lazarus will not die that way he died. Lazarus died and went to heaven like Abraham died and went to heaven. But I didn't see any record of God coming to Lazarus and Lazarus gave him something. And one preacher was saying that is why God was always coming to Abraham. Because anytime he comes visit Abraham, Abraham will kill meat for him. But Lazarus, maybe he was always saying, you see my condition, you know I don't have. You don't have, now trek, come church. You move about in Lagos. You have money for transportation, but you don't have money to do any other thing in the church. When we speak give, you be in a position to receive. But the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Every beggarly spirit, I remove it out of this church in the name of Jesus. Therefore, from today, for the next 7 days, especially my sheep, the church members. Ken, are you hearing me? Ken, do what Abel is doing, oh. If not, sin lieth at your door. And that sin is a sin of jealousy. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I say it again. By the end of this year, somebody will think someone here made juju to make money. I've said it before. I'm repeating it. By the end of this year, somebody will say someone here that you made juju to make money. Because the blessing will be so much. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes.